Welcome to the podcast of the Episcopal Diocese of Fort Worth. This podcast contains sermons and messages from the bishop and other leaders of the diocese and the Episcopal Church. This is episode 10. This is the sermon Bishop Scott Mayer preached at All Saints Episcopal Church in Fort Worth on January 13, 2019. In this sermon, he explores the power of love and the impact of Presiding Bishop Michael Curry's bold declaration that if it's not about love, it's not about God. That message resonates with people as they shift from seeing church as a place to go to seeing church as a body of people, to seeing Christianity as a way that awakens us to a changed life, a life lived fully in relationship with God. Here's the sermon.
As always, when we celebrate baptism or confirmation, we will say together the baptismal covenant, reminding ourselves that we are called into this body for a purpose beyond ourselves, and that is to proclaim and embody the good news of God's love for all people. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, reminds us that in the early days of the church, we saw ourselves as a movement, not so much as an institution, as a movement. Institutions can be good, he tells us. Institutions can serve the movement, and if or when the institution does not serve the movement, it tends to become a golden calf, an idol. In the early days of the church was a movement, and fundamentally it is a movement now. And I suspect that you know by now that Bishop Curry calls this the Jesus movement, and that we are the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. Now, referring to Jesus of Nazareth, he says, this brother didn't come into this world to leave it the way he found it. He came to change it. Jesus summoned us to make disciples who will change this world by the power of God's love. And he boldly proclaims, if it's not about love, it's not about God. Love. Last May, there was a wedding over in England. And I'm not sure who got married, but I know who preached. It's speculated that over 1 billion people tuned in to watch that royal wedding and heard Bishop Curry preach about love. And the next thing you know, he's being interviewed on morning shows and late night shows and cable news. And he is the subject of articles in magazines ranging from Bride to Cosmopolitan. I can't imagine he thought that would happen. People are drawn to this message of love, partly because we hunger for love, and partly because deep down we know the message is true. And then this summer, the theme for General Convention, the General Convention of the Episcopal Church in Austin, the theme for this convention was the Jesus movement, loving, liberating, and life-giving. We even had a revival where the presiding bishop introduced us to and invited us to use a set of practices, a rule of life, the way of love. And I'm not going to go through those practices now, but these practices are practices we can do together as a church as we follow the way of Jesus, the way of love. For love is the way. Love is the way to a full and abundant life. Love is the way to change this world. Love is the way of Jesus. Now, I want to suggest this morning that while this is a challenging time to be a Christian, it is likewise a fascinating and even exciting time to be a Christian. Now, that may be a startling suggestion, given that nearly every Christian tradition which comes to mind has experienced some sort of pain or conflict, if not division. But the historians and the sociologists of our times agree that we are in a place on the historical timeline of deep sea change. Some call it the emerging church, while others call it a reformation, a reformation, a metamorphosis, a change in form. But whatever we call this new period in history, it is largely agreed that we are living during a fundamental shift. And we are shifting, for example, from seeing the church as a place to go to seeing church as a body of people. We are seeing a shift from the come and see model of church to the Great Commission to go. We are shifting from seeing Christianity as a system of beliefs to seeing Christianity as a way of life, a path to a full life, the abundant life which Jesus offers. One of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." Christianity appears to be returning to its roots as a path to follow toward such a life, a path toward becoming fully alive, a path which awakens us to abundant life. And I believe that that is exciting. And further, I believe the Episcopal Church is well positioned for this shift in perspective, as we have always tended toward following a path rather than following a set of beliefs. In our beginning as a new tradition in England, we chose a path, a way of prayer, a book of common prayer, rather than a doctrinal statement of faith. To this day, we follow a rhythm of life, a practice of praying together, morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, compline, marinating us in the Anglican way of life. To this day, we understand Christian ethics to be more about character formation than about right answers to complicated questions. To this day, we see Christianity as a path to know God rather than doctrine about God. And I believe, is the world's deep hunger. Encountering God, knowing God, communion with God. On the first Sunday of Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. It's the event at which his vocation is made known to us, to the witnesses. It's an epiphany. Jesus' calling as the Messiah is made known to all the witnesses at the River Jordan. It's the beginning of the movement. And as the story goes, a handful of people encounter Jesus and are drawn to follow Jesus. Something about Jesus changes them and compels them to follow him. And not only that, compels them to tell others. And his following grows rapidly until it disappears basically at the crucifixion. But it gains new life with the resurrection as this community itself is raised from the dead. It is changed. And on the day of Pentecost, the movement grows by the thousands. And from that day forward, people encountered the risen Christ. And their lives were changed, and they were compelled to follow Jesus, and they revealed God to one another and others. They gathered around bread and wine and told the story of the liberating power of Christ, and the living Christ was made known to them in the breaking of bread and in the storytelling, and lives were changed. And as that newly formed community of faith, that movement, as they told the story over and over, they began to write it down. And in time, they determined with the help of the Spirit, they determined that their writings, their testimonies, were sacred, holy scriptures. And out of that community came the New Testament. And over the years, as the community grew, as the movement grew, it struggled with what it believed about Christ and the God revealed in Christ. So out of the community came the creeds and the councils. And as the community grew in numbers, it took on a structure with a hierarchy of sorts. And by the third century, it looked different from the first century church. as it looks different now. All along, lives were changed, and all along the church changed. To grow means to change. And it all started when a few people dropped what they were doing, dropped their nets, so to speak, to follow Jesus, to tell others the good news of the liberating work of Christ and how he changed their lives. Now, it's not part of our tradition as Episcopalians to give testimonies. Not like the surrounding religious culture anyway. The share or die climate of giving testimonies at tent revivals, which some of us remember, that's not likely to be our way of sharing. We much prefer the words of St. Francis, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. We love that. Having said that, a testimony is the story of a life changed. Words are okay. One of the great privileges of being ordained is that we kind of get a front row seat to see and hear the stories. They're your stories to tell. We don't tell your stories for you. But we see faith which leaves us speechless at times. We see lifelong Episcopalians have dramatic conversion experiences like the Apostle Paul. And we see others grow deeply through prayer and contemplation, maybe like the beloved disciple John. We see Christians from other traditions find new life in our tradition for different reasons, through a variety of means, the beautiful worship, the sense of mystery, the sacred space, the liberating theology, the broad interpretation of Scripture, the freedom to question, the thirst for justice. And they say, home at last. I've always been an Episcopalian, I just didn't know it. And if we're honest, others find new life elsewhere. The gospel is for everyone. Every congregation is not for everyone. But if an encounter with God and a changed life is found elsewhere, perhaps we should honor that. There's a consultant named Peter Drucker. You might have heard of him. He was a consultant to organizations, from businesses to not-for-profits to churches. And Drucker said that it's hard to measure the success of a nonprofit. A business measures its success primarily by its profit. It might also include its reputation and its service and its contribution to society. But at the end of the day, the stockholders want to know the bottom line, the size, the volume, the profit. A nonprofit, by definition, cannot be measured that way. And according to Drucker, the bottom line for a nonprofit, and I would suggest the church, is a changed life. Our bottom line is changed lives, both within and beyond the movement. We have a story to tell and a way of life to offer which leads to an encounter with God and a changed life. Lives change here, within this community of faith, gathered for God's sacred meal, telling our story of God's love. Right here at All Saints Episcopal Church in Fort Worth, Texas, a branch of the Jesus movement, revealing the love of God, all in the name of the Holy Trinity, one God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can find this and other sermons at edfw.org. We invite you to share this with friends who might be interested and to subscribe to this podcast. Again, thanks for listening.